Don't you appreciate our children's teachers and workers? Amen. Pray for them. And pray our heart is for the kids to really get to know Jesus. Romans chapter 1. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. We had a great Thanksgiving, except for my leg, which I had surgery a week and a half ago, and it was really hurting because I was doing way too much getting ready for our guests. And I grilled the turkey. My annual job is to grill the turkey. But we had family over, which was wonderful. Gene's brother and his wife and our kids were in town. But family is so precious. Family is so important. And we are all, if we know Jesus, we're all part of a family. Some of us might come from more blessed families than others in some senses. Our families might have been very broken. Or our families might have been wonderful. But the fact is, if you're a believer in Christ, you're a part of God's family. And as I've often said, we're not just church members, we're family. And that's how we need to look at things. There was a dad who called his son the day before Thanksgiving Eve. His son lived out of town. And he said, "I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing." "Dad, what are you talking about?" The son was obviously upset. "Well, we can't stand the sight of each other anymore," the father said. "We're sick of each other. And I'm sick of talking about this, so you call your sister and tell her." So the son calls his sister, who explodes on the phone. She's like heck, they're getting divorced. She's shouting, "I'll take care of this. Get a plane ticket for the 9:30 a.m. flight out of town tomorrow. I'll meet you at the airport. I'm going to take care of this." So she calls her parents' house immediately, and she's screaming at her father, "And you are not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until my brother and I get there by dinner tomorrow. And until then, do not do a thing. Do you hear me?" And she slams the phone. So the dad hangs up the phone, and he turns to his wife, and he says, "You're right, babe, it worked. They're coming home for Thanksgiving. And they're paying their own way." Family. I'm really praying that you get a revelation today. That this isn't just going to hit your head and be brain knowledge, but something hits your heart today. I know a message is from the Lord when I myself am so impacted in my preparation that it's literally has shaken me. And I'm praying the same thing happens to you. Romans chapter 1, as we've been doing, we've been in this introduction to Romans and launching from there to the various topics that are just brought out just initially in that introduction. And then we're developing those topics. And Romans chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the what? The Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." I want you to notice how Jesus is referred to as a son, and in two different ways. These two verses, verse 1:3 and 1:4, are some of the most succinct, loaded, theologically important, Christological passages in the Bible. It is such an important theological truth that is communicated in those two little verses. "Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." As we are now in the Christmas season, we have here the very mystery of Christmas revealed. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "But while he, Joseph, thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. By the way, Jesus is the Germanized, anglicized name for Yahshua, the Hebrew Yahshua, or in the Aramaic Yeshua, which is what Jesus' name really is Yahshua, Joshua, which means God's salvation. Yah, God, Shua, salvation in the Hebrew. So he says, you shall call his name Yahshua, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, now listen to this, he's quoting the Old Testament, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a, who? Son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, who? God with us. So a virgin's going to give birth miraculously to a human child who will be called God with us. Okay? This is a mystery. The son of a woman, the son of God. I want you to note how the Bible talks in familial terms, that even God himself is defined by family terms. And God himself is a family. His very nature is family. Trinity, the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. It's a mystery. You can't figure it out. Don't even try. It's a mystery. And then that second person of the Trinity, God the Son, came down to earth and became a human son, a man. That's what Christmas is all about. You see, Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. He's not half God, half man. He's fully God, he's fully man. And this is the critical doctrine and teaching of the Christian faith. Because look at any cult, look at any aberrant religion, look at any false religion, and it all comes down to what they say about Jesus. Remember, Jesus asked Peter, he said, who do they say that I am? Some say you're Elijah. Some say this and that. Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, ain't nobody told you that except the Father in heaven. You got that straight from God. And that's the revelation I'm praying that we get today. Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, etc., they all say Jesus is not the Son of God and he's not God. The central truth of the Christian faith is that he is fully God, fully man. As we saw in verses 3 and 4, he was born of the Son of David according to the flesh and the Son of God according to the resurrection. So, I'll never forget when I was pastoring in the Dearborn area, which, of course, by now I think is probably majority Muslim as far as the city of Dearborn. If not, it's close to that. But we were in a meeting with the mayor where we were talking about security issues and how to prepare for disasters and such. And so all the religious leaders came in for a meeting with the mayor. And he just kept saying all the time, you know, we all believe in the same God. We all believe in the same God. I'm like, no, we don't, Mr. Mayor, because I believe Jesus Christ is fully God, and my Muslim friend, who I respect and love, but they don't. We are not worshiping the same God. So this is the crux of the Christian faith. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That makes it pretty clear. We're looking for the blessed hope and appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And 2 Peter 1:1 says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have been obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus is God. John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 5, and some verses following, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him," this Word, "and without Him nothing was made that was made." He's Creator. Jumping to verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Who's the Word? Jesus Christ. He's the one God who was with God at the beginning. He created everything, and He became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is fully God, but He's also fully man. Miraculously born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit, and thus not having the sinful nature, which is passed down by the man who carries the seed, and I'm not going to get into all that theology, but He did this for two reasons. Jesus came down, God the Son came and became a son of man for two reasons. Number one, to become the perfect sacrifice for our sins. So in the Old Testament, when sacrifices were made, asking for forgiveness of sins, an animal had to be sacrificed because we were worthy of death. And so somebody had to be substituted, and it had to be an animal without blemish. It had to be a perfect animal. No lame animal was allowed to be sacrificed. It had to be perfect. Well, that was a foreshadowing of Jesus, who as the only human without sin could pay for our sins. So no sinful person can pay for his own sins. That's like the thief being the jailer. Right? You can't, if you're sinful, you can't pay for your sins. But He was sinless, and so He paid for our sins. He had what we did not have, which is perfection. So that's the first reason He came. But secondly, and this is important to my message today, He sets the example for perfect humanity, what a perfect human, what man was designed to be, what you were designed to be. So as we've been doing a couple of months here, we're launching from this introduction to Romans to various important themes in Romans. So what does the rest of the book of Romans say about sonship? Well, let's look at some verses real quick. Romans chapter 1, verse 9 says this, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." I want you to notice the subtlety here. He says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son." His Son. So here's God the Son. This speaks to His divinity. But we preach the gospel of His Son, which speaks to His mission and His humanity. We preach the gospel of His Son. The gospel has Jesus at the center. The gospel is about Jesus. If we think we're preaching the gospel to somebody by telling them how great our church is, or how we've been blessed ever since we became Christians, or all those things are wonderful, but if it's not talking about Jesus, it's not the gospel. He is the good news. And it's the gospel of His Son, His obedience, His love, His sacrifice. And we see this affirmed, His sonship and His sacrifice for our sins, in the next place in Romans where sonship is mentioned. That's Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Again, here we have these two aspects of Jesus' sonship referred to. His death led to our reconciliation with the Father. Again, notice the family language. The Son came, reconciled us with the Father. It's like now we're siblings. and he's helped us to get back to the Father. Maybe if you were part of a family and one of the children has been away from the family, the black sheep in the family, but you were able to bring that black sheep, that person who is away from the family, back to the parents and back into that relationship. That's a reconciliation. That's what Jesus did for us. So now we're back in the family. We're back part of God's family. We have a heavenly Father. The sin barrier's been dealt with. He took care of that. That's what this is saying. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. When he died on the cross, he paid for our sins. There's no barrier anymore between us and the Father. But he says, if his death saved us, how much more his life? So there are two aspects here. His life on earth was an example of true sonship with the Father. As he walked this earth, when we read the gospel passages, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, when we read that and we see the intimacy that Jesus had with his heavenly Father, we see how he talks to his heavenly Father, how he loves his heavenly Father, how he does whatever his heavenly Father says, and he's always talking about his Father. And then we see the Father talking about him, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And you're just looking at this relationship. You ought to look at it and say, I want that. I want to be like that. And he sets an example for us. But it goes beyond that. Secondly, his life after resurrection is his presence with us through the Holy Spirit, giving us the power to live as sons of the Heavenly Father. So when he walked this earth, he was an example. But now that he's resurrected, he lives inside us and allows us to live as sons of God. And when I use the word sons, I'm meaning ladies as well. Sons in the neutral sense. In the non-gender sense. In the non-binary sense. I'm cool, man. See, I'm with the times here. Tom Seppo said it a couple weeks ago. Remember this? 1 John 4:17. He said, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because we're restored with God." We don't have to be afraid of judgment. We're sons. "Because as he is, so are we in this world." Remember that message? "Because as he is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world." And folks, if you can get this, it doesn't say as he was. It says as he is, so are we in this world. Well, how is he now? He's raised from the dead. He's above all circumstances. He's not subject to all the issues of this world. And guess what? If we are truly in him, we can be the same way. And the world can be falling apart all around. Do you know how crazy it is out there today? It's insane. There's another variant. When are they going to start closing everything down again? It's crazy. In Australia, you have to show a QR code to go to church. It's the law. I mean, we're talking like Mark of the Beast stuff. It's not the Mark of the Beast. It's like it. It's certainly preparing. I mean, the economy, all the things that are happening in this world, and the sinfulness and the corruption and the things that our children are being taught and all of this. But as we are in him, as he is in the world, which he is resurrected and above all things, so are we. We can live in that place where we are above the circumstances in this world. Oh, God, reveal this. Reveal this to us. Show us this. Wow. He is in the world working. No matter how crazy the world is, he's resurrected. He has overcome the world. And so are we. We can be in that same place. We don't have to fear. We don't have to panic. There's so much fear in the body of Christ right now. I mean, all the YouTubes and the Facebooks and all the stuff. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. I had an Assembly of God pastor send me a video that said if you take the vaccine, you will become like the Nephilim in Genesis 6 and you will lose your soul. Your soul will die. You'll completely become soulless In other words, you're no longer human. And folks, I'm not saying take the vaccine, don't take the vaccine. I say what I always say. What's God telling you to do? Do that. Not what the latest prophet said. You need to do what God's telling you to do because you're a son. You're not some person you have to be afraid. You know, that we're getting deceived into the mark of the beast and we're going to lose our souls and die and go to hell. I'm not. I'm a son. I got a father watching over me. I'm part of his family. He's not going to let me get tricked some way into the Antichrist system. Are you with me? There's too much fear out there. But if you're like he is in the world, so are we. You're above all that. Okay, let's go on in Romans. Let's wrap this up. Another place where sonship is mentioned is Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, talking about the moral law, the law of Moses, we couldn't as humans obey holiness fully because it was weak through the flesh. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. What that's saying is that God sent his own son to take care of that sin issue, which we've been talking about. I like this phrase. I kind of got this phrase the other day. God became like us so that we could become like God. Not that we could become God. We can become like him. And he became like us. Now, when it says here, it says God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That doesn't mean it was kind of like he was a human. No, he was fully human, but he wasn't like we are, born of a man and a woman and carrying the sin nature. He was born of a woman and the Holy Ghost in a miracle. And so he was still in the flesh. He was fully human. He faced temptations, but he did not have that sin nature which forced him to sin. He wasn't forced to. So here again, we have the divine and the perfectly human Son of God coming to die for us so that this barrier between us and God is gone. But if we go on in Romans, we see again the power of the Son of God's life in us. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For as many that are led of the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Folks, again, I'm talking, if I didn't have the sore foot, I'd be jumping right now. I'm telling you, if we are led, I believe in prophets, I believe in people, I bring people in with prophetic gifts, like you know, Corey and Russ and people like that. But I don't need a prophet telling me what to be afraid of. I don't need a prophet telling me what danger I'm in. I'm led by the Spirit of God, and I'm a son of God. I'm in his family. And as many, that can be you, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Say, how are you led by the Spirit? That's a good question. That's another sermon. But basically, it's you know this word, your face is in it all the time. Your face is in the book, not on Facebook. But your face is in this book. And you get to know who God is and you begin to recognize how he works. And the Holy Spirit inside you bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, which is another sonship passage we could get to. But so if we live by the Spirit, not religion, not our own pitiful ways, we manifest our sonship. Now, do you realize that all of creation is waiting for us to get this? All of creation is waiting for us to get this. Romans 8:19. Look at this. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So, creation! Little birdies out there and the squirrels and the trees. They're all waiting for us to get this, that we are the children of God. We are the sons of God. Creation's awaiting this, the revealing of the sons of God. Because when you're truly being led by the Spirit, when you're truly living for God, it's good for creation. You're not going to destroy it. And creation is waiting for our manifestation as sons of God, as children of God. Romans 8:29. Watch this. For whom he foreknew, he's talking about us, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the Son, the firstborn among many brethren. So God has put us on a train that says we're going to be like Jesus. And once you get on that train, you're moving in one direction to be like him, conformed into his image. In other words, you can do Jesus stuff. You can do Jesus stuff because you're in the family. You got the same genes. You got the same father. You can pray for the sick and they can get healed. You can pray for yourself to get healed. You can believe God for the things that Jesus did in your own life. Romans 8:32. Romans 8 is full of the sonship revelation. So he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him? How shall he not freely give us just what we barely need to get by? Right? No? Oh, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Come on. He cares for us. He cares for, he wants to give us all things. Like our kids, our family little messaging group last few days, like, what do you want for Christmas? And we're asking our kids, what do you want for Christmas? So, we're not going to get you anything you want. You need to pay for your college education. That's all you're getting from us. Some help on that. And no. What do you want? We want to give them something. Why? Because we love them. We want to give them something that they're going to open up and enjoy, right? If we humans are like that, how much more generous is God, who did not even spare his own son? This is a scripture we all need to memorize. The access we have to all of God's goodness. Oh, man. One more scripture. Romans 9:26. And it shall come to pass, in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. And he's quoting the Old Testament here, that the non-Jewish people, the Gentiles, who had no knowledge of God until the gospel came, that they will be called sons of the living God. Us, we have been given that gospel. Wow. Yeah, I was thinking that maybe because of the dedications today, or maybe because we're a church with so many children. But I'm overwhelmed with the realities that we are in, and the reality that we are in the very last of the last days. I mean, just the stuff. The other day, I just turned on the news, and I'm like, Book of Revelation is happening. And it struck me, but this is a word of the Lord, parents, especially the parents of young children. Prepare your kids to be sons of the living God. Sons and daughters of the living God. Prepare, let them know without a doubt that God is on their side, that God is their father, that there is one who will never fail, and that they can have him living inside of them, and that these children are born in this time for a reason, for such a time as this. That you don't have to be afraid of the end times, but prepare them to be end days, last days Christians, looking forward to Jesus in heaven more than anything else, and for him to return and set up paradise on earth. Let them pray and think about that more than anything else. Not the latest video game that's coming out. They're so looking forward to that. Make them look forward to Jesus coming back. And they'll be prepared. You shouldn't be freaking out about all that's happening in the world. Prepare your children. That doesn't mean sitting around telling them everything's falling apart, the world is a mess, everybody's going to die, you're going to die. No, you tell them you are a child of God. You have incredible authority and power because Jesus lives inside. You are protected by God, and they are to be witnesses of truth in our day. Kids are awesome witnesses. They share the gospel with the people they're around, and it's just amazing. And it starts with you knowing who you are. Amen? We got good news to share. Father, let's pray. Father, I pray that you grant us revelation of this. That, Lord, it's not just a lot of head knowledge and teaching, but God, something would sink in that it's all about we're in the family of God. You are family. You talk in terms of family. Lord, this is not just an organization. We're not just members of a club. We're not just members of a religion, Lord God, but we are family. And Lord, all the rights and privileges and blessings of being family with the Royal One, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord God, just reveal that to us today. Prepare our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Hallelujah. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, it's real simple. ABC. Just admit you're a sinner, that you need His forgiveness. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and that He rose from the dead. And confess Him as your Lord. Say, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. That's all you need to do. And ask Him into your life. Lord, I pray that if anyone has to get that understanding and revelation that it's just connecting with you. It's becoming children of the Heavenly Father. That, Lord, you would help them to take that step, to just turn to you, to be reconciled to you, to admit, believe, confess. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Just help each one. If you're online, let us know if you're making that commitment today. And if you're here, let somebody know you're making that commitment today. We're going to sing Go Tell It on the Mountain, and we want to tell this news. And if you can stay, we're going to dismiss a little bit, but if you can stay for the water baptisms, that would be really great. And in fact, you might want to come a little bit closer here as you hear a couple testimonies and we enjoy this great moment for a couple people. So if there's anyone else I don't know about who's getting baptized, go ahead downstairs and meet me in the cafe. Let's stand.